Okay, if I could have your attention, this is the dinner I like most because I have to do very, very little. And so I am here to just make an introduction of my fellow board member, my former chapter president and current chapter secretary, I think it is. And she's held many offices. She's, you know, GDUC president. She's got more hats than you can put on a hat rack. So, with that, our MC for this evening, Ann Kaiser.
I'm going to go around. Can you hear that mic?
Yeah. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas. my next number shall be the stream, the old mill stream. Anyway, we have been discussing the first item I want to. I'm kind of trying not to. Think about. Yes, thank you. What we've been talking about the last several months is this wonderful idea that we've decided to call Friends of CCB. So while you're eating your salads and your bread and contemplating whether you want coffee or iced tea, think about any ideas you have about Friends, or your opinion of the whole idea, any suggestions you may have how to help us get it off the ground better. First of all, though, I want to know, is everybody having a really good time this convention so far?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, we've had some good, very good stuff today. We had some excellent presentations.
Yeah.
And Yeah, we had a really interesting thing yesterday. We were heading down from one of the back elevators, and it just decided that the door wasn't going to open when it got down to the lobby. So we tried the whole, the emergency button and everything, and there was a whole bunch of us, and all of a sudden I had this picture of, oh, my God, you hear about the classic panic attack one has being stuck in an elevator, because there were like three or four guide dogs too, so it was very cozy. So we had to, I had to get somebody to come and finally get us out of there. And then we got on another elevator, and it decided it didn't want to go up. So there was obviously something systemic going on. Anyway, it's good now. Everything is all good. Without further ado, I will have everyone who wants to speak on this subject. We're also going to have, if time permits, I have another. We're going to kind of combine introductions with another topic that's presidential in nature. So anyone who wants to say anything about Friends of CCB, I will turn it over to Diana to hand the mic around. So enjoy your dinners. Thank you.
Hello, this is Artis Bazin. I just wanted to make the comment that I think we need not only focus on people that are not members of CCB, but I think we should encourage CCB members to be friends of CCB, because I think many of our members could afford to donate to the organization and would be willing to, and many of our members could volunteer more than what they do right now. And I think this would be an encouragement to get more members of CCB involved in a higher extent in CCB itself.
Hello, there we go. I would suggest, too, that we have a recognition. Once friends, I can't help it. I'm not doing anything. That we build up enough friends of CCB that we have a recognition dinner or breakfast sometime during the commission convention for everybody. That's just my suggestion.
I think we need to pilot telling them what the reason is they should be our friend, because a lot of people don't know what CCB is all about. And so if we get out there and let more people know, we can find those friends we want to bring in.
This is Pam Metz, and I feel that I feel that the Friends of CCB is a good concept and a good thing, but I also would like to see the presidents having more input on how it's put together. Since we are the ones that are bringing them in and our chapter members are bringing them in, I'd like to see the presidents have a little bit more input on how it's done and how it's put together.
I think all of those sentiments were excellent. I think Friends is, as I said at the board meeting, a new program that is just getting moving. We have an excellent brochure. We do need more input from the presidents. Some presidents have said that they want brochures sent to the chapter and let the chapter send them out. If that is a consensus, then the committee may want to rethink that view and send them out. It has negatives and positives, but I think we really need to, if this is something that the vast majority of presidents really believe the president should have the flexibility, then we need to allow that as a change in approach. And we'll go back to the committee and we can rethink this. So, you know, we need the buy-in of the organization as a whole. This committee is just meant to oversee it and formulate policy, but it's the organization that is running it, will drive it, and so that's why we're here, to get your input. So I hope there's more input. If there's not, that's great, but this is your chance, because we need to hear it.
Yes, there is more input.
Good, and then Donna's after you.
Okay, this is Linda Purrell from the San Francisco chapter. This is my input. As one of the presidents, sort of been observing from the sidelines as this has evolved. And maybe this step has already been taken, but we haven't heard much about it. I'm always concerned about reinventing the wheel. So I'm wondering if it makes any sense, if it hasn't been done already, to find some organizations, nonprofits, that have friends, say Friends of the Public Library, or Friends of KQED, or Friends of whatever, and see how those organizations evolved as friends, and get a roadmap from somebody who's already tested this concept.
Well,
thank
we
you.
Did that in part. We talked to some fundraisers, and they said this is the sort of thing you have to do. You have to solicit your neighbors and your bakers and the businesses you deal with. And so this is exactly what we did. They said use calling by individuals, which was what we asked the chapter presidents and people in the chapters to do, followed by a brochure subsequent to a call. After the call says, look, we want you to be a friend, we're going to send you this. So we did try and model it after, you know, what we were told might work. So we did some of that. We could do more of that. But certainly, you know, there's who knows if we're doing it. You know, there could be a better way. We need to look at it.
This is Beryl from Redwood Empire. I like the idea of having the brochures in our hands to be able to talk with people would be a great help.
Go ahead, Donna, jump in there. Okay. I was actually going to ask, based on what was said about chapters, you know, distributing the brochures. I respect that idea, and what I'm wondering if, you know, my fellow presidents would be willing to capture the data locally and, you know, at least give the office some solid numbers that you have, you know, numbers of brochures that you give out and, you know, kind of who gives them out and the names and all that, and you keep that locally so that we at least have an idea that you gave out this many brochures, they went here, there, and there, and you got this much of a return, you know, based on, because we need, Jeff, I didn't hear, I'm sorry. Right, because, you know, if they decide, then Jeff is saying that we'd need the names back. And I understand wanting to protect the, you know, your personal contacts. But once they decide to be friends, obviously we'd need the names. But could you capture the data, numbers of brochures you give out, how many people, you know, how many did we actually get from it, so that we can have something to take back to the board as far as numbers, how is it progressing and stuff like that.
Because let me add, the only comment I would add to that is, because you must remember that obviously you don't have to tell us the names of those you solicited that didn't do it. That doesn't matter. But the ones you did, the reason we need those names back is very simple. Although we hope this will impact the local chapters, this is mainly and primarily and ultimately a way to help the financial status of a state organization. And you have to understand that. The rest is all gravy. We get volunteers at the local level. We get all these other things. But the bottom line thing that we absolutely need, you know, is some way of diversifying our income stream. And that's what drove this. And if we don't get, if the state isn't provided with all the information back in terms of the people that you sign up, then it does no good.
Yes, Robert Wynn here. I have just one thought. I don't know if it'll help, but I don't remember how long ago it was, but we came in a little early at one convention and did some leadership training with presidents and other officers, and I'm wondering if we can do the same thing maybe in Sacramento with a basic training on this, what your intention was, you know, feeding us information that the presidents, so that we can better understand, take that back to our chapter, and the education can go both ways. We can tell you what's going to be possible for us and not possible, and maybe that would make this work a little better.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's really hard for us to hear the people that are speaking over the plates clicking and the silverware, so if we can keep it to a dull roar, please. This is Brandy Morgan. I do have a suggestion. We have talked about brochures and things, but maybe we could consider doing a PSA of some sort so that people can get to know what CCB is about and Friends of CCB and what we're doing. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
It seems to the brochure directs people to send their information to the state office.
Yes.
So if the person volunteers, you'll automatically have their information. That's where it's headed. That's where it's aimed.
This is Dan Kaiser and Jeff Tom and Rhonda King and myself met with one of the top fundraisers in Sacramento named Mimi Sherber, and I think some of this drove all this. And Mimi said that.
Heather.
No, Mimi Sherber. That's okay. Heather's mother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Mother-in-law. Anyway, and the thing is that what she told us is we have to, in order for us to do some decent fundraising in an organization, in a chapter, in a state affiliate, it all trickles down anyway. In order to do some decent fundraising, you have to identify what. You have to tell your story. And you have to tell your story about what it is that you do to somebody. Who are you going to tell your story to? You're going to tell your stories to friends. And you're going to identify all of your friends because they're going to, you tell them your story. So then it comes down to not fundraising, but friend-raising. And that's what it really is all about, is friend-raising. We have to identify all of our friends, and hopefully it'll all trickle up to the state level, but it'll, you know, it helps everybody. So those are, I think that was part and parcel of what we all learned with me. And if we could somehow transfer that to some seminar, as John was saying, and sort of pass along all this information, Robert, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Robert. To everybody, that would really help. Thank you.
Perhaps it would be helpful if I clarified the tools that we have to work with. One is that the Friends brochure is not a standalone brochure. It is intended to be put inside the CCB brochure. And for those of you who have not looked at the CCB brochure in recent times, it tells us, it tells the public what we, what the, some of the things are that we have accomplished. It talks about talking ATMs, accessible pedestrian signals, paratransit issues, and so forth. And we have pictures of some of our members interacting in the various issues. Like it shows Sam Chen presiding at a meeting using his Braille note, and Frank Welty sitting in front of a computer at a job that he had previously, and so on and so forth. So that if these brochures go out to chapters, you need to be very clear that you insert it, just slip it into a CCB brochure, but set it in so that it sticks up a little bit so people realize that there is another brochure. They are different sizes. One does fit inside the other. And we do have our video that was produced a while back that could be used also instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. But I guess I want to encourage people to take a look at what we already have in place to work with.
This is Frank Welty. I do happen to be on the Friends Committee, and perhaps I can help you get through some of the discomfort you're feeling about this if I give you a little how-to scenario. This is actually a great time for us to be looking into this because we're getting into the holiday season, and that's a time when we connect with people. You know, we're sending out Christmas cards, we're going to family gatherings, we're going to Christmas parties of various groups we belong to. It's a time when we really are really connecting with people, sometimes people we haven't seen in a while. And so I'd like to give you a really quick how-to, step-by-step on how to do this. Number one, make a list of your family and friends. Just about everybody here actually does have family, actually does have a few friends, maybe more than two. Okay, just make a list. And the first thing is look at your list and say, when was the last time I talked to this person? Go through your list and touch base with them and just catch up on stuff. You know, maybe if you owe them a favor, maybe if you owe them some money, pay them back, whatever. And while you're checking in with them, just mention that you're involved, how that you are these days really actively involved in helping other blind people and how good that makes you feel. And if you feel like this is the time, then you can maybe ask them if they'd like to chip in too. If not, maybe you can let it sit for a little bit, and then the next time you contact them, you can tell them some more that you're doing and ask them if they'd like to be a friend of CCB, to be a supporter of the stuff you do. And those that say yes, great. Those that say no, no problem. But it's really about, first worry about connecting with your friends. I think all of us need to do more of that anyway. So let this be a good reason for us to do that, and then slip it in where it's appropriate. You know, it doesn't have to be the thing where you sit down with a telephone and you make 50 phone calls to people you don't even know and say, please be a friend of CCB.
Hello. I'm Margaret Buckman Garcia, and I'm kind of the new kid on the block here, and so I haven't been as involved with all this. I don't know all the things that have been tried and talked about, so I'm just going to throw out a couple ideas. One is just for things like we have Friends of the Library in our community, and they have hit it hard by having other people go out and solicit for them as well. And by that I mean PTA has gone out to get it, school kids. Every time we pay our taxes, our property taxes, there's a slip in there that says you want to contribute. So one idea is maybe to get other people besides CCB, because we do have caring people in our communities that are also our friends, but them to also, they belong to organizations to kind of pass on the word and become it, including vendors and so forth, because they're making money off of this in that way. The other thing is there a way to set it up where people could do a monthly contribution that comes out of their check through this process? Because I think sometimes people, if you tell them, even if it's $5 a month, they're more willing to do that than write a $100 check. So that's all.
Hi, Ken Metz. I think one of the problems that we're having in trying to get this off the ground is that a lot of friends within CCB first need to learn what CCB means to them. If you were to talk to a lot of folks, they join an organization, they don't have all of the information that is necessary to pass on to someone else to motivate them to say, hey, I'm a friend and I want to help you succeed. I want to help the organization that you believe in so much succeed to be able to help you and other folks who are blind or visually impaired. The important goal to me, Dan, I heard him say quiet before, so I'd call his name. The important goal to me is to see people who are really proud of being members learn to understand, learn to participate, and I'm talking even on the chapter level, learn to help motivate other people. That's the way you can then sell something that you really believe in to a friend and have it go through the entire organization as a positive means. That, so try and learn about your organization, and this is a great organization. It really is. You know, there are times we may disagree on certain things, and most of the time we do agree, but at the same time, learn about it. Take all the positive things and tell your friends exactly what CCB means to you in your life. And I guarantee you that we will have success in getting this project off the ground.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Jackson, and I just want to ditto what Frank and Ken said. It's really an easy activity to do, and you just need to have that enthusiasm and motivation and make your list and send them out. I did something like this for the San Diego Center for the Blind 3 years ago. In 5 months, we raised $70,000. $70,000. And we started out with the students. We had the students, we had 200 students to agree to give $1 a month for 5 months. That made $1,000. And they did the same thing and call alumni and friends and things of that nature. And it's amazing how people will give if you're enthusiastic. You're just telling your family and friends about it. I had an activity that happened with my chapter that could have been a misfortunate activity, and some people wanted it to be that way. Out of that group, I have 200 students that are going to help us to fundraise for our local chapter. And a professor got behind it. So just tell your story. People want to give, and we're a worthwhile organization to give to and to help.
Absolutely, I agree. I would like to add a little something to that. We've had a couple of people saying to tell your story. Mention it to your coworkers, to your bosses. I personally am an independent living skills specialist with Independent Living Center of Kern County, and my boss actually helped send me here this year because he was so excited about what we're doing. So, you know, it really does affect all of us, and if you get your employers and your coworkers involved, who knows where to roll over to. Anyone else?
This is Lewis Preston. I'm wondering if we're not making this more complicated than it should be. For example, there are people, believe it or not, they don't even know about CCB. And you know who they are? They're ophthalmologists, optometrists, and what's that other group? They are getting our money. They are treating us because of visual concerns, and they don't even know about CCB. They should be some of the first ones on the Friends of CCB list. That's right. And that's where I would start. I would start right there. You already have an in. They should know. And once they know, guess what? They're going to be passing the word on to some of their other patients.
I like that point.
Okay,
Miss MC, the mic is back in your hands.
Thank you much. Great points, everyone. I give yourselves a big round of applause for those. Alrighty. The next topic I'd like, this can be kind of off the cuff, so not to worry. I only have one little ground rule I need to lay down. Okay. What I'd like everyone to, each representative of a chapter or affiliate, and because of it, for the sake of brevity at this point, I would ask that only one person, be it a president or a president's representative from a chapter or special interest affiliate, respond to this question. What is your chapter doing to maintain, not only to recruit new members, but really even more importantly at this point, to maintain current membership levels, or, you know, to keep, I guess the best way I would put it is, what are you doing to maintain membership retention? You know, what are you doing to keep the people that are currently in there motivated to stay there? Because that is a problem that people kind of move around and they get kind of sidetracked and peter out and don't go to meetings often. But, and it's harder. I think the problem special interest affiliates, I think, face is that we only meet twice a year. So you don't have that monthly kind of reminder of who you are and what you belong to. But so everybody go around. I'll have the mic passed around again and see what you guys think about that. Thanks.
I have a mic in my hand, so I guess I get to go first, right? It's a little trick to get your 2 cents in. So anyway, I'll speak for Greater Bakersfield as delegate.
And quiet, please.
Can anyone hear me? Is that better? Okay. So if I hand a mic to you, you know, you'll almost have to eat it. Okay. I'm Brandy Morgan. I'm with Greater Bakersfield chapter. I'm the delegate. And so I'll speak on our behalf. One of the things we do is we try and as some of us have said tonight, we speak as much as we can to as many people as we can. And we're actually working on setting up outreaches in our community. And as Vice President of Blind Students, we're actually starting something new. We're going to set up, I know you've seen the discs, the CDs that you guys get sometimes at some of these vendors. We're actually going to put together a CD for blind students that can go to all of the schools so they can give them to their students, and it'll have promotional stuff and things like that about blind students. So hopefully that'll get us somewhere too.
Okay, well, I'm going to take MC privilege at this point. I was going to wait till the end, but and I decided no. I'm going to do it now. So since I have a mic in my hand, I'm, as all of you may know, I'm president of Guide Dog Users of California. And what's happened during my, it's going to be, I served part of a second term of a prior president. So altogether, I will have served 5 years, which is almost unprecedented. Anyway, so what we've done at GDUC, I think that the biggest change I made as president was to move it for our Saturday program. We used to always have our main speaker or speakers during the lunch time. And that was just far too short. We couldn't get just about the time you'd really get into what they were saying, it was time to leave. No good. You know, I mean, that was just you just felt cheated. So I said, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to have our business meeting. Then at 10 o'clock or soon thereafter, this is what going to have our guest speakers. They have until 11:30 to present their program. Plenty of time for Q&A. Really keep it moving, but still have plenty of time to relax and make a good presentation. And then lunchtime, we have a kind of more relaxed, informal gathering with the school reports and door prizes and all kinds of neat stuff. Maybe little stories if we have time. But it really, I think, changed the focus of the program. The other kind of neat thing we've been doing the last 4 or 5 conventions is a 50-50 drawing, which really brings a lot of people to our booth and to our program. So those are the two main things, is keeping the programs interesting and yet relaxing. So I think that's been our big focus. Thanks.
Madam Chairman?
Oh,
I'm actually giving it to our treasurer. So.
This is Pam Pology. I'm from the San Gabriel Valley chapter. I'm the treasurer, and Peter Bardini invited me, so I'm a guest here. I hope I don't make him sorry after I talk, because I'm not a very good speaker. But anyway, in our chapter, we have several committees that we've organized. We have a fundraising committee. We have an advocacy committee. We have a constitution and bylaws committee. And instead of having our committee meetings during our meeting day or during our meeting time, a lot of our members have been generous enough, including Donna, to open their homes on different days than our meeting day. And we get together and we conduct our committee meetings, and then sometimes afterwards we'll stay after and have pizza, and we've been known to have a few other things to drink and stuff. So, not that kind of stuff. But anyway, and it really does bring a lot of camaraderie. It helps people when they are serving on a committee. I think it brings confidence and lets them know that there's a place for each of them there in our chapter, and that, you know, everybody is part of the body here, and someone might be a hand, someone might be a heart, someone might be something else, but we all have a place. And the camaraderie that we develop as we interact and as we network and brainstorm and stuff, I think really has helped keep our chapter together. We have right now about 55 members. So anyway, thank you for your time. God bless.
Anyone else? Okay. Sure. Okay, Artis, here you go.
I'm Artis Bazin, president of the Glendale Burbank chapter. I think what has helped make our chapter grow is that we have speakers every month at our meeting, and we communicate. We have an email list and communicate with our members and let them know what's happening. And we have someone call everybody each month to remind them of the meeting. And that way, the more communication I think we have with our members, the better off we are.
Hello, I'm Pam Metz, and I'm president of the Greater Los Angeles chapter. And the two challenges I have as president of our Los Angeles chapter is, number one, the size of the city. Pulling people in, and Donna, I have to say, is great, because if she meets someone that lives in our area, she sends them to Los Angeles. And if I meet someone who lives in her area, I send them to San Gabriel.
She only tells us she sends them down.
Yeah, she only tells us that. But she... And the other thing that we do that I really enjoy doing is having, number one, our legislative report that we get every month is fantastic. So we have a lot of members that are interested in the legislative reports, and I try to make sure that each month we have a speaker, whether it's Mitch, when I can snatch him into it, or it's someone, League of Women Voters, I try to find someone that has nothing really to do with blindness issues, but something that the chapter may be interested in. And I'm up for re-election this year, so I can't say I'll be president next year. Who knows? But one of the things I like to see Los Angeles do is do more outreach, because we are in such a large city. And I run into blind people that I don't even know and who know nothing about CCB.
Yeah, this is Robert Wendt from Greater Long Beach. Let me eat the microphone. I forgot. One of the things that I found, you know, that does work and does get people interested, you know, as we've talked about, are the having speakers. But additionally, on occasion, giving your group time to be heard. I don't know how you always do that, but a lot of times what we'll do is I'll stop and I'll just ask people, how's everybody feeling here? How's everybody? And sometimes that's enough. If people feel like they're being heard, yeah, it probably is the counselor in me. When people are feeling like they're being heard, it's a place they want to come.
I'm Norma Guerrero from the Capital Chapter of the CCB. And what we do is we make sure everyone gets heard. We do have some really long-winded members in our chapter, just like everyone does. But everyone gets the opportunity to speak, and everybody gets their opinion heard. And I think that's very important to be validated, as was spoken before. Also, it's something quite new, but what we've been doing, a few of us that are on the college campuses, is we've been taking the information, and it's kind of like attraction by or promotion by attraction. People are attracted to our positive attitudes and other blind students and the disabled centers on campus. They ask us, you know, how we remain in such a positive way. We have a chance to network and advocate for our specific chapter. And we invite the younger folks to join us and to get interested in advocacy. And I think that's the best place to hit, is the places that you belong, the places you go to, the grocery stores you go to, the banks you go to, you know, the other nonprofit denominations that you attend. You know, they also have to do a certain amount of giving. And I think that's important for us to go to these places, because they're inspiring.
Hello, I'm Jerry Arakawa, president of California Library Users. And being the president of a statewide special interest affiliate presents very unique kind of challenges, I think, as I'm sure Ann would know about, and other special interest affiliates. To me, to work with the special interest, I've thought of several different things, and I've tried to put those practices to use. One is probably most important, is being responsive to the membership and trying to deliver what it is the membership wants. And obviously with our special interests, we're very interested in library use, media, and a whole host of issues surrounding information and access. So we try to keep listening to whatever the membership comes up with. Second, our board is very interested in creating exciting, interesting programs that will hold people's interest and motivate our membership to continue to participate. And I guess finally, the third thing is just the everyday elbow grease kind of thing, following up people's motivation and interest with the letters, the phone calls, the constant discussion about re-upping for dues, because that's really the how you keep people on the books and participating.
Closer. Okay. Anyway, I noticed that at every convention, we don't have time to eat our meal and then hear the people speak. And there's always something really important that I personally would like to hear, but I also would like to eat my food. And I'm in hopes that we can allow a little more time for the camaraderie that takes place around the table with the people you get to know, as well as enjoying the things and learning the things that everybody has to share. Because there's not enough time allowed, and I don't like it when I'm shushed just because I'm trying to eat my pie or order my coffee. And I have a feeling that many of you feel this way. So excuse me if I've insulted anybody, but I'd like more time. And I enjoy the people here so very much that I just feel very strongly about this. So thank you for listening to me.
Okay. All right. Hello, this is Alan Ramos, president of the San Bernardino chapter. I have 12 members of my group here. So I'd like to thank all my group. Plus, I'd like to thank one of my members, Samantha Chippe, for making the name tags for our chapter. So that is a positive thing that we have 12 people here tonight at this dinner. You know, so I think that's a real positive thing that shows who we are. Thank you.
Here you go. Hi, this is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker from the Orange County chapter. And we do have speakers or topics for every meeting that we have, and we share that out with the membership prior to the meetings on a regular basis and sometimes several months in advance. The other thing that I've done as the president, once we have an activity or an event, then I write a thank you note to all those members that participated in that activity. And I think that sometimes that touch of just saying thank you and writing a personalized note has made some individuals feel very pleased. And so I'd encourage everyone to do that if you're not already doing it.
Hi, it's Linda Porrell again. When I took over the presidency of San Francisco chapter 2 years ago, I thought I was supposed to turn it into a highly activist machine. I thought that was what was wanted, you know, from state. Well, I've learned a great deal since then, and my very vocal and opinionated chapter has helped me to learn. And what works for us is really a balanced approach. There's some advocacy, there's some education, getting speakers to come in, and people are very appreciative of that. There's our fundraising element, especially our now called Alice Chavez Pardini Education Advancement Grant that gives our group a sense of real purpose and giving to someone in the community. And then there's another element, a fourth one, that I call social nourishment. Every meeting I ask whose birthday it is that month. We make sure we don't have more than a quarter go by without some kind of social activity, as well as the work activities that a chapter has. And I have a sense that we're a pretty satisfied bunch at this point, and we may not be blazing any great activist trail, but I think we're getting a lot of work done.
And I'm handing the mic back to our wonderful MC.
All right, those are some wonderful presentations, and makes me want to join all these all these chapters at once. Too bad I can't, it'd be a lot of commuting around, but good, very great input. I want to have you all give yourselves a big hand. Yay. And thank you to Brandy, doing a lot of running around. She's hired. All right. And Diana, of course, we can't. I don't know what we do without Diana. She's just an awesome addition to this this organization. Well, honestly, it's just a little past 6:30. I don't really have anything else personally, but I want to thank everyone for coming. This has been your dinner, your event, because without all of these different folks, CCB wouldn't be what it is. So I want to thank all of you who were able to come and made such wonderful presentations, gave me a lot of food for thought, too. So once again, give yourselves a great round of applause, and thank you all very much.